Now here's the text for today, Romans, the book of Romans, chapter 3, verse 24, 25, and 26. Romans 3, 24, 25, and 26. I know some of you read your Bibles with me when I'm preaching, and you'll want to follow as we read the Scripture. So that's it, Romans 3, 24. And the subject today is Christ, our mercy seat. Christ, our mercy seat. Now, if you listen this morning, I believe you'll learn, at least in your head, the gospel, the good news, the glad tidings of God's redeeming grace in Christ Jesus, the gospel. It says here in Romans 3, verse 24, being justified, acquitted, just as if I'd never sinned, reconciled, all sin forgiven, put away, pardoned, covered, blotted out, being justified freely, without charge, by His grace, through the redemption that's in Christ Jesus, whom God, hath set forth, Christ Jesus, God set forth, to be a propitiation through faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness. Now watch this verse 26. That God might be just, and the justifier of him that believeth in Jesus. Several things I want you to see here. God set him forward. What does that mean? To be a propitiation. What does that mean? Through faith in His blood. To declare God's righteousness. That God might be God. That God might be just and holy. And justify folks like you and me. Now, my friends, I desire above all things. And when I thought about saying that, I thought about it again. I desire above all things, may God be pleased to grant it, that as long as this program stays on television, and we've been on now about 14 years, but as long as it stays on, and as long as I'm able to preach and you to hear, that our subject shall always be, every time we preach, every time you hear, the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what Paul declared. He said, I preach Christ and Him crucified. In fact, I'm determined, he said, I'm determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And he said again, we preach not ourselves. We're not preaching ourselves. We're preaching Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves just your servants for Christ's sake. And I want our message always to be Christ in His glorious deity, very God of very God. Let that note be sounded loud and clear. Let that arrow go straight to the mark. He's none other than God in human flesh. The Father said unto the Son, Thy throne, O God, is forever. And I want to preach Christ in His true humanity. Bone of our bone and flesh of our flesh, let it be said, let it be heard, let it be understood that the Word actually was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. I want our message to be Christ crucified, Christ risen, Christ exalted. Who is He that condemneth? It's Christ that died, yea, rather is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Christ, the only mediator between God and men. 1 Timothy 2:4 says there's one God. You believe that? Well, there's one mediator. There's one God. There's one mediator between God and men, and that's the man Christ Jesus. He said, I'm the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Neither is there any other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And I want to preach Christ Jesus, King of kings and Lord of lords, who has all power over all flesh, who has all authority in heaven and earth, who has been given a name above every name. Jesus Christ is worthy to receive honor, power, and glory divine, and blessings a whole lot more than I can give. O Lord, be forever thine. I never get tired of preaching the gospel. I hope you never get tired of hearing it. Paul wrote to the church at Philippi, and he said, to write the same things to you, to me, is not tiresome, it's not grievous, and it's profitable for you. And so he went right on and preached Christ to them again. But you know, no true believer, I can say this without hesitation, no true believer ever gets weary of hearing the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Never, never, never. Who among us ever complained of having too much sunshine? Did you ever complain about having too much sunshine? I rejoice to see the sun rise every morning and drive away the darkness, don't you? Who among us has ever complained of the monotony of bread? I like bread every meal. It's the staff of life. Who ever complained of having too much water? You ever get tired of water? Oh, no. Christ is the Son of Righteousness, rising with healing in His wings. Christ is the bread from heaven. Christ is the water of life. Christ is the hope of glory. Christ is the rose of Sharon. Christ is the lily of the valley. Christ is the fairest among 10,000. And no believer whose heart has ever been touched by the Master's hand will ever tire looking into His face and hearing of His wonders and His beauties and His glories. And no true preacher will ever run out of something to say about the Lord Jesus Christ. He never will. No, sir. Well, let's look at our text. Let's look at our text. God hath set Him forth, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood. Now, the word set forth means several things. Now, if you have a Bible there with a center reference, a marginal reference, it's probably got a little number right beside set forth, and it refers you to that center reference, and it says there, foreordained. Foreordained. In other words, set forth, whom God set forth to be the propitiation. It means that God foreordained Him. God predestinated Christ to be our propitiation before the world began, before the morning stars sang together, before the sons of God shouted for joy, before the world was ever made, before Adam and Eve ever breathed. Jesus Christ was ordained, foreordained from the beginning, predestinated to be the surety of the everlasting covenant, to be the Lamb slain, yea, even before the foundation of the world. He has always been our Messiah. He has always been our Redeemer. He has always been our mercy seat. Do you see that? Whom God, long before the world began, long before there was a sinner, there was a Savior, for known unto God are all His works from the beginning. God declares the end from the beginning. And from ancient times, the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand. God never learns anything. Jesus Christ is not a remedy God came up with after the fall. Jesus Christ is the remedy ordained, foreordained, predestinated before the fall. That's what the word set forth means. First, God ordained Him. And then secondly, the word set forth, whom God has set forth. It means this, that God has placed Him in public view. Set Him forth. Set Him forth. God has placed Him in public view. He has set Him forth and exhibited Him in a most conspicuous manner, in an undeniable manner, that there be no doubt as to who He is. That there be no doubt concerning His claims. That there be no doubt of His office and his work. The Father hath set him forth publicly in a conspicuous manner. The Father hath set him forth to be a propitiation. Well, how has the Father set him forth? Well, first of all, the Father set him forth in the promises. When Adam and Eve fell, the very first promise God made of a Redeemer was this: the seed of woman shall bruise the serpent's head. Who is this seed of woman? Well, behold, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. A virgin shall conceive and bring forth a son, calling his name Emmanuel, God with us. So God set him forth right there in the garden, the seed of woman. And then he set him forth in Genesis, the seed of Abraham. Why, he said, Abraham, look up at the sky. Can you count the stars? No, Lord. Can you count the sands of the seashore? Even so shalt thy seed be. And he didn't even have a son then. But that seed is Christ, the seed of Abraham, coming through Isaac. And then the prophet, God said in Genesis 18, I believe it is, Moses said, the Lord will raise up a prophet like unto myself from among the brethren. Him you shall hear. God set him forth in all the promises. And I could go all the way through the scripture reading you promise after promise after promise of Christ coming. But the Father set him forth also in the Old Testament patterns and pictures. The ark of Noah is a picture of Christ. When judgment was upon the whole face of the earth and every living human being was perishing, there was the ark floating on that water. And all in the ark not only survived, they victoriously conquered. They were delivered. That ark is Christ. That Passover lamb is Christ. Christ, our Passover, sacrificed for us. That smitten rock in the wilderness that gave forth the thirst-quenching, refreshing water is Christ. That rock is Christ. Paul said it is. The manna from heaven, that's Christ. He said, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven. My Father giveth you the bread from heaven. I am the true bread from heaven. The brazen serpent is Christ. The tabernacle, the atonement, the priest, the sacrifice, they're all Christ. God set him forth. You see that? God set him forth in promise, in prophecy, in picture. God set him forth, exhibited him in a public manner, undeniable manner, in a conspicuous manner, that it be not denied. This is God's way. Would you come to God? You'll come by Christ. And then the Father set him forth when he came into the world. He set him forth conspicuously, publicly, undeniably so. The angels appeared to Mary and Joseph and said to Mary, you'll have a son. She said, I can't have a son. I don't know a man. And the angel said, that son born of you will be conceived of the Holy Ghost and be called the Son of God. That's pretty public. That's pretty conspicuous. And the angel said to Joseph, Mary's going to have a son. Call his name Jesus. He'll save his people from their sins. The angels appeared to the shepherds on the Judean hillside, and they declared conspicuously and publicly, openly, that's Christ born down there in Bethlehem, Judea. The star stood over the manger, and God said, here's the place my son will come into this world. John the Baptist pointed at him and said, there's the Lamb of God. The voice from heaven said, this is my son. The works that he did bore witness of me. Him, do you see what I'm saying? Whom God hath set forth. And the Father set him forth on a cross. And I'll tell you, all things written of him were fulfilled when he died on that cross. Having fulfilled all that was written of him, they took him down from the tree. They plucked his beard. Scripture said they would. They spat in his face. Scripture said they would. They drove nails into his hands and feet. The Word said they would. They mocked him in his kingly office. The Word said they would. Judas betrayed him and denied him. The Word said that he would. And that by potter's field with the pieces of silver that he brought back to the temple. It was all done on time. Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye with wicked hands have crucified and slain. But you did what God determined before to be done. Oh, yes, the Father set him forth. He set him forth on the cross, and he set him forth when he raised him from the dead, whereby he gave a witness to all men that Jesus Christ was approved, accepted, and exalted. And then the Father set him forth in the gospel. That's what I'm preaching to you. That's what I'm preaching to you, the gospel. God has set him forth. But not many want to hear it. They'd rather hear people sing or entertain or perform or act a fool or give away dolls and prizes and pictures. And you'd rather talk about most anything than Christ. And yet Christ is the very heart of God revealed. God set him forth. Do you see? Do you see? Wherefore God set him forth to be a propitiation. Well, what's a propitiation, preacher? What's a propitiation? Well, the word clearly, everybody knows this, it's done any study at all, knows that the word propitiation is mercy seat. Mercy seat. Now, back in the Old Testament, there was a tabernacle. Now, you stay with me a minute. The 12 tribes of Israel were tenting around in their tents and tabernacles on the land where God had brought them. And in the middle of that whole encampment was a courtyard surrounded by a white fence, 8 feet high, a white linen fence, surrounded a tent, a tabernacle. It was only 45 feet long and 15 feet wide and 15 feet high. That was the tabernacle in the wilderness. But it was in a courtyard surrounded by this white linen fence, which speaks of the righteousness of God. Everybody stayed outside the white linen fence except the priest. And there was only one gate, one way of entrance, either coming in or going out, was that eastern gate facing the rising of the sun. And right in front of that eastern gate was an altar. An altar. And on that altar was where they slew the sacrifices. The lamb was slain right there on that altar and roasted with fire. You see, that altar is a picture of Calvary, where our lamb, the Lamb of God, was slain, roasted in the fiery wrath of God for our sins, and his blood was shed. So the priest would bring the lamb for the Day of Atonement and would slay the lamb, catch the blood in a basin and roast it on that altar. And then he would come across the courtyard with the blood, and the first place he stopped in front of the tabernacle was the laver of fresh, clean, clear water, and there he'd wash his hands and feet. That's sanctification. That's Christ. Our justification at the altar at Calvary, our sanctification is also in Christ. And then he would come into the tabernacle. And the tabernacle was made up of two sections. There was the holy place. The holy place, 30 feet long, 15 feet wide, the holy place. Only 3 pieces of furniture in the holy place. There was the candlestick over here, which is Christ, the light of the world. And over on the other side, the bread, the table of showbread. That's Christ, the bread of life. But right here in front of the veil, the second veil, which was about 4 or 5 inches thick, had no entrance, no doorway. It hung from top to bottom, side to side. But right in front of the veil was an altar of incense. And it kept burning 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. That incense would burn. The priest kept it burning. That's the prayers of Christ that ascend up before God for his people. Everything's Christ. He tabernacled among us, you see. And then the priest, once a year, the high priest would go under the veil into the Holy of Holies, into the awesome holy place, the Holy of Holies, with the blood and with a censer of incense, the prayers of Christ and the blood of Christ. And that priest himself was a picture of Christ. And in that Holy of Holies was the Ark of the Covenant. It's about 2.5 feet long, about 2 feet wide or 18 inches wide, about that high. And inside that Ark of the Covenant were 3 things. There was Aaron's rod that budded. There was a pot of manna the manna God gave from heaven, and there was the broken law, the Ten Commandments on the tables of stone that God gave to Moses was inside that ark. That was the chief thing, the Ten Commandments, the broken law was in that ark, in that Ark of the Covenant. And over the top of the Ark of the Covenant was a mercy seat, beaten gold, called the mercy seat, the mercy seat. And on either end was a cherubim, winged creature facing one another. And over that mercy seat was the Shekinah glory of God. And that high priest would come into that Holy of Holies once a year, not without blood. And he would sprinkle that blood, which is the blood of Christ, which is typical of the blood of Christ, which is a pattern of the blood of Christ, which is a picture of the blood of Christ. He'd sprinkle it on the mercy seat that covered the broken law. And it was called a propitiation. It was called an atonement, at one month. It was called reconciliation. The blood fell on the mercy seat before the glory of God, before the Shekinah glory of God. And that's propitiation, forgiveness. The mercy seat is where the glory of God was revealed. The mercy seat is where the atonement was made. The mercy seat is where the broken law was dealt with by death, sacrifice, and blood. The mercy seat is where men met God. Would you meet God? You're not going to meet Him in a baptistry. You're not going to meet Him at an altar. You're not going to meet Him at the front of a church. You're going to meet Him at the mercy seat. That's where you'll meet God. Where Israel met God, at the mercy seat. Would you be forgiven? You're not going to be forgiven because you make religious signs. You're not going to be forgiven because you count beads. You're not going to be forgiven because you go to confessional. You're not going to be forgiven because you turn over a new leaf. You'll be forgiven because the blood is on the mercy seat. Is that clear? Would you know and worship God? You'll only know God in Christ. I'm telling you the truth. God has revealed His glory in the face of Christ Jesus. God has set Him forth to be a propitiation. A propitiation. A mercy seat. That's what it's all about. That's where it's all done. That's where God meets men. Now back yonder in the day of Israel, as long as that tabernacle stood, the only place of the atonement was in the tabernacle, in the Holy of Holies, on the mercy seat, before the Shekinah glory of God. And that's where God met them. And that's where they were forgiven. And I'm telling you now, God set him forward. He's the fulfillment of all that. God taketh away the first that he may establish the second. The law's been fulfilled in Christ. The type has been fulfilled in Christ. We have a high priest who is ascended into the heavens, Jesus Christ the righteous. Having a high priest over the house of God, let us come boldly. Christ is our high priest, and he ministers not in a tabernacle made with hands, but in the heaven itself. He has gone not into the holy place made with hands, but into heaven itself, there to put not the blood of an animal, but his own blood on the mercy seat of glory. He is our propitiation. I can't make it any clearer than that. That's what God says. And then the word propitiation also is a covering. A covering. That's what the mercy seat did. It covered the ark. It covered the broken law. It covered it up. The blood made it an effectual covering, and the mercy seat covered the broken law, and so covered that which is the cause of God's wrath. What's the cause of God's wrath? Sin, the broken law. Well, how are you going to cover your sin? Well, I'll wash them away in water. Oh, no. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission. It's the blood that maketh atonement for the soul. Our sins are covered by the blood. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sin. The blood maketh atonement for the soul. How can I make that clearer? If words mean anything, that's what it says. The mercy seat covered with the blood, and it covers the broken law. And God has set Him forth to be a mercy seat and a covering. Now the preacher of doctrine sets forth a creed, and the preacher of experience sets forth a feeling, and the preacher of law sets forth a work. But God set forth
His Son to be a propitiation for our sins. Do you see? Do you see? God set him forth. And God set him forth as a mercy seat and as a covering. For whom is the mercy seat intended? For whom is the covering intended? Well, notice the next line. Through faith in His blood. It's for those who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. God is just and justifier of those who believe. Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. And this was written not for his sake alone, but for our sakes, to whom it shall be imputed if we believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. It's not the baby in the manger that saves. It's not the healer or the stranger of Galilee that saves. It's not the reformer that saves. It's the Christ of the cross that saves. It's the blood that maketh atonement for the soul. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Let others who will praise the cross of the Christ. The Christ of the cross is my theme. While we must cherish the old rugged cross, it's the Christ of the cross that redeems. Religion today makes much of the cross. It's not the cross that saves. It's the Christ who saves. The cross has no blood in it. The cross has no mercy seat. The cross has no propitiation. It's the blood of Christ. The royal bath in which black souls are washed white from their sins was drawn from the veins of the Son of God. Do you see that? He lived that we might have a perfect righteousness. He died that justice might be satisfied. He arose that we might arise in newness of life. He ascended as our forerunner. He's accepted that we might be accepted. And He reigns that we might reign. I say just as I am, without one plea, but that Thy blood was shed for me, and that Thou bidst me come to Thee, Lamb of God, I come. I come. Now, I have two messages on this tape. I have a message I preached last week on the subject, Christ the Mighty God. Jesus Christ the Mighty God. And this one, Christ the Mercy Seat. You write, send $2, we'll mail them both to you on the same tape. Next week, we'll see you again. God bless you.